Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges. Today's Wednesday, the day we see how the Bible changes and transforms our thinking. Yesterday, we introduced the story of a man named Saul, a hunter of Christians who was trying to find and arrest and maybe even kill Christians to try to suppress this grassroots movement that threatened the religious establishment of which he was a part as a Pharisee. We learned yesterday about his transformation, where he was on his way to Damascus and was thrown off his horse, blinded by a bright light from heaven, and heard God's voice. In fact, it was Jesus' voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He was basically telling Saul that when he hurt Christians, he was hurting Jesus. He was hurting his God. Saul was obviously humbled, having been thrown to the ground off his horse in the first place, not being able to see. Suddenly, this once powerful man found himself powerless at the mercy of the very one he was trying to hurt.
Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a dream, "Ananias?" And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God."
Well, there was a mini-series on television a little while ago. It was a follow-up to the Bible mini-series. It was called AD, The Bible Continues. It looked at the story of the book of Acts that we're studying right now in this We Are series. It's a really interesting series because so often that gets skipped over. What people want to portray on television is the story of Jesus or in a movie or something. And they'll often stop at the resurrection. It's a good story. It's exciting. But there's more that happened after that. And I've always found Paul or Saul a really interesting character, and it was great to see him portrayed on screen. But what I found was they actually portrayed him really well enough that sometimes I really didn't like him. And I think that's true to the Bible. In the Bible, we see this brash, overconfident, religious legalist turning into a brash, overconfident Christ follower. He sometimes is a little too blunt, maybe. He ruffles some feathers. He rubs people the wrong way. Still today, people find they don't always like what Paul has to say and have to wrestle with, well, but it's in the Bible. So I think they did a good job in this mini-series of giving us a Paul or a Saul who sometimes we're cheering for and sometimes we're not quite sure whether we can trust him.
Jesus has chosen you to proclaim his name to the world, to the Gentiles, their kings, and the sons of Israel. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The transformation in his life was probably hard for people to believe. Here was this guy who was trying to kill Christians, and suddenly the Christians are being asked to welcome him and make him a part of the family, part of the church. I can only imagine how cautious some of them would have been. We'd like to think, oh, of course they were welcoming, and it was an immediate inclusion of this guy who changed, but imagine Ananias, who we just heard about. Imagine him hearing that he needs to get up and go find this Saul who was trying to kill him. Previously, if Saul had met Ananias in the street, he probably would have caught and tortured and arrested him or had him killed. Here was a prominent Christ follower and leader in the Christian community. Now, Ananias has just been asked to go find Saul and to teach him about Christianity. He'd be putting himself at a huge disadvantage. He's putting himself in danger by going and doing that. So I can imagine there were a few people in his life who were saying, what? You're going to do what? Don't do that. That's dangerous. It's a trap. He'll probably try to kill you. Now, this happens all the time, even today, where people see transformation or a promise of transformation in somebody's life, and it's hard to believe. It's hard to trust. Have they really changed, or are they just saying this for political reasons and so on? I was reminded of this because of Rob Ford's funeral just recently. Here was a man whose failings and addictions were well known. They were all over newspapers and television for some time. I remember a few times in his political career where he claimed to be changing, where he claimed, oh, I haven't had a drink in ages, or when he said he was going to go to rehab, but then people claimed to have seen him in the community. There were all kinds of stories like that where he said he was going to change, and people almost relished and enjoyed expecting him to fail and saying, I know Rob Ford can't do it. I know what he's like. People sort of had a caricature in mind of him that said he would always fail, he would never succeed, he could never transform, he would never change. Just pause for a second if you're familiar with the story of Rob Ford and think, what might have ever convinced you he would change? Or did you sort of have that caricature in your mind too, that he wouldn't be able to do it, he would not be able to change it? You kind of had him pegged, you knew what he was about and what he was like. We do that with people. We kind of decide that they're one-dimensional, we kind of decide we know what they're like, And we don't expect people to change, especially not quickly, especially not in a crisis. And yet, sometimes it happens. Now, obviously, in Rob's life, it didn't really take. He I think, had some time to try to make some good changes in his life, and then cancer took him down. Everybody deserves a second chance. Rob's was very short. But let's think about a man like Saul in the Bible. Did he deserve a second chance? He certainly got one, whether he deserved it or not. And that's the thing about grace, that's the thing about Jesus. He gives second chances to people who don't even deserve it. So here's a man, we see a dramatic transformation in his life. He gets a second chance at life, but you can only imagine how hard it would have been for Christians like Ananias or Peter to forgive him. Here's a clip from the AD miniseries that I mentioned, showing Saul asking Peter for forgiveness.
All I've ever done is hurt you, Peter. Jesus should have struck me down, but he didn't. He forgave me. And I must beg you for your forgiveness, too. Has he never had to forgive you for anything, Peter?
Well, I'm sure you could see the conflicted look on Peter's face there as he tries to wrestle with, should I forgive this guy or not? Well, here's a question for you to think about before we discuss this more tomorrow. How do you think Ananias and the other disciples, like Peter, felt about helping Saul? How would you feel if you were asked to help somebody like this, who claimed to be changing? Would you believe it, or would you be cautious? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.